All right, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God, our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Lord, I thank you that you do a great work in Colossae, that you do a great work in City Heights, that you do a great work in us this morning, Lord, and that we can celebrate your goodness, your power, your endurance as we fight the good fight, run the long race, and make impact for you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, it was movie day. We went to go see, I Can Only Imagine, 2-3 weeks ago when it came out, and down there at the Regal Cinemas, and they got some more decent movies to go see, so you can head on down there. $5, that's the way I go down there. But it's all the way down on East Lake and on 8th Street, kind of going east. And I can make that 8th Street turn, but it's the other turn going into the theater that I always get mixed up on. Now, my wife, she doesn't get mixed up. And so as we were heading down there for I Can Only Imagine, she goes, turn right here, turn right. I missed that turn. And down there, you know, in East Lake, they got rich people, and they don't like to have too many turns or whatever. So it's a long block. And I get to that next light, and I make the left, and I'm figuring I'm just going to take the back streets. And I'll make it to the movie theater. My wife wasn't sharing in that vision, okay? She was guiding me, and I got this. I could make this. And I was navigating the back roads, I realized that I was getting more and more off track. My wife as well realized I was getting off track. And you know, sometimes you just need a guide. Amen? We're in this new series, The Fullness of Life. Title of the message today is Guided by the Gospel. Because he doesn't leave you alone. Amen? Amen. Doesn't leave me alone. Paul writes this letter to the church in Colossae. I got a map for you there, and there's a lot of writing on there, but that's the Mediterranean, and you can see that circle, and that is in modern-day Turkey, to the town, and it was a little insignificant town called Colossae. It was, hundreds of years earlier, a big trading town, but the trade routes had been shifted, and it was a small, insignificant little town. Paul writes this letter of Colossians along with the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to the Philippians from prison in Rome. They're called the prison epistles. This letter is occasioned by a visit to Paul from Epaphras, who was bringing the gospel to Colossae, and he was bringing a report back to Paul. And the report was good. Man, the church is growing like crazy. But the report was challenging. There's some lies being wrapped into the gospel. And so Paul celebrates the good and starts to take steps against the bad. Amen? You know, whenever you start stepping towards the Lord, the devil's going to be right there with you to try and get you off track. Amen? You know, I have been praying for the folks that came forward last Sunday. And not one of them is here today. Every time you start stepping out for the Lord, the devil's going to be right there with you. And he's going to try and get you off track. See, the Lord's going to open a brand new way for you. But you got to step into that. Title of today's message is Guided by the Gospel. Let's see what we got. We're going to spend our time from the first 14 verses, which I already read to you. And we're going to read initially about the good things that are happening in this church. Verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And what we can see is that these Christians in Colossae, they are living faithful lives. Talk about that. Paul writes a letter and he says that I am an apostle of Christ. And what that means is that he was commissioned by Jesus. He was authorized by Jesus, and he would travel throughout mainly modern-day Turkey and on into Greece and would share that gospel. His life was transformed as Jesus revealed himself to Paul as he was on the way to Damascus. And the Lord blinded Paul for 3 days. Would that get your attention? It got Paul's attention, and his life was forever changed because of that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus steps into your life, and I hope and trust that the Lord has stepped into your life, when he steps into your life, things are going to change. Things change because none of us are good the way we are. Amen? So he comes to make changes. He works things out. And he is working things out by guiding them with the gospel. They are following. They are being transformed. And he calls them holy. Now, how cool would it be to have a message from God saying, a message directed to the holy believers in City Heights? Yeah, can I get a witness on that? Yeah, man. Now, when Paul calls them holy, he's not really talking about their purity or their righteousness, but he's talking about a separation, a dedication that they are separated from the world and focused on God. And those are the holy people separated unto God. Now, he also calls them faithful. And this faithfulness, their faithfulness is a measure of their consistency, a measure of that dedication for the Lord. Now, that consistency in the life of the Christian is often in contrast to the inconsistency that we had before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I the only one? A little inconsistent, a little messed up in my life? Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. And it is that inconsistency and the pain that causes us to look for something. That break from the past. See, the Lord had indeed opened a way for the Colossians. And they're stepping into it. And things are changing. The Lord opens a way for each of us. It's up to us to step through that and step into change. Amen? I hope you're doing that. You know, I hope people around you, you know, hear a report of what's going on in your life, and they go, whoa! Because that's what happened in Colossae. Let's continue reading verses 3 and 4. It says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of God's people. Paul's giving thanks to God. Notice that Paul is not giving thanks to the Colossians. It's not like he sends them a letter and he says, man, I have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and have heard about all the great things that you are doing in the body of believers around you, and I thank you that you are so faithful to God. Well, wait a minute. I could use some thanks on that. He thanks God the Father because he realizes that everything that is going on in that church is a result of the influence of God in their lives. Amen? Something good has happened in your life is because God has opened the way. You're walking through, but God is doing a work in your life. And he says, I thank the Father because of the work that he's doing in you. You step into that opportunity, and that is when things begin to change. Now, he says, we thank God of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can be a little nebulous. You exercise faith. You develop faith as you trust Jesus and you trust his work in your life. As you grab on to the promises of God, right? And start stepping into the changes that he makes available. When you start stepping, that's when things start changing. Now, he thanks God for their faith and for their love. The love that we're talking there about there is agape love. It's not like they have a Colossian dating service. Agape love is sacrificial love. It sees the need that another has and meets that need. It is a sacrificial type of love. Faith in Jesus manifests that kind of love in your life, manifests that kind of love in the life of the Colossians, and the word is going around. In fact, Epaphras steps into this church and says, these guys got it going on. It's because of their faith. God opens the door. God opens the way. And they step through. Amen? Let's see. I'm kind of lost. Paul's praying for these Colossians. Because they have given their life to the Lord and everything is changing. I pray for you. I pray for you because I know the pain. All these people that came up last week, I have been praying for them. It is the instability and the pain in their lives that has caused the opportunity for the Lord to speak into their hearts. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Instability and pain leads us to say, God, I want something new. You tracking with me on that? It is that same instability that can make it difficult to grab on to all the promises that God has for us. It is that pain and that instability that as we grab on to the Lord, we begin to look back in our lives and say, hey, maybe I can head back here. Maybe I can do a little both of this. I'm going to get a witness on that. And it is as you walk back that you can lose grip on what the Lord has for you. God opens the way. We got to step through. Amen? All right. Gospel changes things. When? When you step through. All right. Verses 5 and 6. Talking about the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you've already heard in the true message. The true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace. And change is happening all around these Colossians. It is the true gospel that is making changes. It is changing the Colossians, and it is changing those around them. Their faithful lives and that agape love is making an impact on the whole area. And when you start stepping into the things of God, you're going to start seeing changes around you. Changes in your home, changes in the people around you. They are going to see what you've got, and they're going to want it because we have more than they do. Amen? We have hope. Our hope is in a Savior who lives in heaven. That he does not leave us here all alone, but he is going to come back and get us. And as we wait for that trumpet blast to sound, that we wait in eager expectation for him to come and redeem us as his sons and his daughters. Amen? As we are waiting, we are not left alone in that we have the power of the kingdom of God to help us through our fight, to help us through the race, to help us meet the challenges that come against us, to help us overcome the enemy that comes against us and wants us to fail, to let go of our grip on the way that he has and to not take those steps. He throws stumbling blocks in our way. The Lord would make the way straight. Lord, give us endurance and strength that we can keep on going when it gets steep. Have you found it? It is steep. Can I get a witness on that? See, there's steepness that some of you get this week. Got to keep on keeping on. The true message stands in contrast to the false message that can come around. Now, Paul, in this letter, does not tell us what the falseness is that he's addressing. He only gives us the truth, the true message. But there are lies that are going to come around. We talk here about the faithfulness of the Colossians and their love. And one of the lies that can come around is that you don't really need to be all that committed. You can just kind of mail it in. See, nobody in here doesn't want to go to heaven. But sometimes we just don't want to try that hard to get there. Why don't you say that again? See, everybody wants to get to heaven. But we just kind of wagering. What's the minimum amount I can do so that I can get there? It was the faithfulness, the commitment, and the devotion that drew the attention to the Colossian church. It's our faithfulness, our dedication, that draws God's attention to us. Amen? Let's continue on. Verses 7 through 9. You heard it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. He was dedicated. Wasn't. You heard it from Epaphras, who barely made it back because he got hung up and he was just kind of hanging out, mailing it in. No, he was the dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Transformation comes through the Holy Spirit. If you are being transformed in your life, it is a result of the Holy Spirit's work in you. Amen? Paul's mentioned the Father and the Son. He now references the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father, the Son hung on a cross for your sins, that you might be redeemed. He opens the way to give us access to the kingdom of God. And it is the Holy Spirit who is actively at work in believers in this room, in Colossae. He is the one who is making change. Epaphras brings a report to Paul that moves Paul to fervent prayer. Well, that fervent prayer that Paul is moved into is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. That faithful ministry that Epaphras is doing among the Colossians is a result of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if you are being transformed this week, if you are being empowered this week, we can pray to the Father. The Son gives us access, but it is the Holy Spirit who makes changes and transforms us. Amen? So we see the work of the Trinity in our lives and in the church in Colossae. And we can celebrate that. Paul's praying for an overflow in the lives of these Christians. He is praying that their lives would be overflowed with the will of God. And I hope that you have experienced something akin to that, because as the will of God overflows into your life, it will affect your choices. It will affect your desires. It will affect your actions. It will affect your day. In and out, all day long. Amen? The Colossians are overflowing with the will of God. Hardly a gospel message that says that you can just mail it in. That a half-hearted commitment will make it. See, God opens that way. We got to step through. I remember I was 29 years old, and I was messed up, and I asked the Lord to come into my life, and I had no clue what was going on. I started going to this little Episcopalian church that had 8 people in it, and I had a Bible on my shelf, and I grabbed it. It was like grandma's Bible or something, I don't know. And I started reading it, and it made no sense. But I kept on reading it. And I would go to this church, and I would go to the priest, and I would say, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And I kept on asking questions. And it took me a year. It took me a year to get my head on straight. Anybody relate to that? But the further I went, the better it got. I wish that some of those people that came forward last Sunday were here today. Because here is a tool. A daily reading list. Because you want to know about the Word? Right there. You got to read it. Got to get it into your head. I wish I had somebody that would come alongside me and guide me. But you've got 20 minutes a day that'll change your life. You've got daily prayer that'll change your life. You've got devotions day that'll pray, change your life. Come in, eat lunch. You need somebody with skin on around you, eat some lunch here. There'll be people around here. You can, if nothing else, you can ask them questions and they'll say, we're messed up too. And you can feel like, hey, at least I'm not alone. And what happens? We grow together, and the love, that sacrificial love, gets spread out. God says, there's my faithful people in City Heights. Amen? Last thing I got for you, living a life that is pleasing to God. Living a life pleasing to God. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy. Say worthy, would you? Say you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Paul is praying with purpose. He is praying to effect change in the life of the Colossians. He is praying that their lives, and as we read this, that our lives would be worthy of God. You can only have a worthy life as you are infused by the will of God. And it affects your choices, desires, purposes in life. I wonder, how can my life measure up as worthy to the investment of Jesus in me? You ever wonder what it takes to be worthy of God? And I, and I, and I, And I put that picture up there on the screen for you. And there's just no way. There is just no way that I can balance the scales of what Jesus has done for me. But I can do all I can to live a life that pleases God. Amen? So, you ever wonder what it takes to please God? What it takes to please God is your best. Is your very best. Now, that's all God is looking for from you. Your best. Your best will do. In fact, He takes your best and He makes it better. Amen? And so He says, good done. Good job. Well done, my faithful servant, because you gave me your best. It is hardly a message that says, whatever you do is good enough. Your best is good enough. This sacrifice, He says, bring me the best of the flock. Bring me a perfect sacrifice. He says, your tithe. Bring me the top 10%. Don't bring me what's left over. Bring me the top, and I'll make it better. Bring me the top, I'll make sure there's food in my house. Bring me the top, I will bless you. I'll pour out the wealth of the kingdom of God that you won't even be able to contain it. Bring me the best. I'll make it better. He says, I open the way. You walk through. Amen? He says, as this happens, get back here, you're going to grow in your knowledge of Him. Every day. 20 minutes. He's talking to Paul. He says, I go, what time you get up and go to work? He goes, man, I got to get up at 3 a.m. Get up at 2:45. It'll change your whole day. It'll give you something to grab onto that won't slip out of your hands. You can't figure it out. See, Paul gets to go to a 10-hour shift. He can think about it all day long, all the questions he's got, and then he's going to go on the Chag City Heights Assembly of God page, and he can find some answers. Hallelujah. I did that for the people who came up here so that they would have something to grab onto and that wouldn't slip off. Amen? Make use of it. Use the opportunities of the Lord. Because the more you grow in this, the more impact you're going to have around you. And He says you will have fruit. So the question, how much fruit you got? Do you have any? Because as He opens the way and you step through, you're going to grow in your understanding of Him and you're going to make an impact for Him around you. Now, you know anybody who needs to know the truth? You know anybody who's living in pain? You know anybody who's living lives of insecurity, of just challenge and pain and drama and all that? You know anybody like that? You got more. You have answer. You have hope. And that's what they need most. Amen? He opens the way. Step through. Last thing I got for you, the opportunity to live in the light. And we are surrounded by people who live in darkness. Verses 11 through 14. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. That sounds good right there, right? I mean, realistically, you're going to underline something. You'd underline that one verse in your whole Bible. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. That's true gospel right there. Amen? All right, Tommy. Me and you, man. I like that flower, by the way. So that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of the light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Living in the light, we wage war against the darkness. The enemy of your souls wants to come into your home and kill you. He wants to come in and kill your kids. He wants to come in and kill your dog. He wants to come in and kill your cat. He is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. He steals. He destroys. That's what he does. And the Lord infuses us with power so that we can push that back. Amen? Now, the power that he gives us is not based on our need. Lord, I need this much. The power that he gives us is based on his supply. And he has more than you could ever know. Can I get a witness on that part? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 21, Paul writes that letter in the same jail cell, and he's writing this, and he's saying to the Ephesians, oh, I wish you could know. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That's good, amen? The riches of his glorious inheritance in this holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. You believe today? That is what is available to you today. He says, this power is that same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand. That is what is available to you. We get endurance and we get strength so that we can finish the race. So we can fight the fight. It's a long fight. It's a long race. But the further you go, the better it gets. And you start going, and there's some people here today that have been going for a little while. And it's like, hey, I'm getting this now. As I moved through that year of fuzz and started figuring out, oh, this is getting better now. And what happens is you start stepping into that opening that the Lord gives you, and you start seeing that finish line. And you start reaching out to the finish. And in that, there is hope and there is exuberance. I'm going to make this. This is really going to work out. I can see this working out. And as you get and you stretch out to that finish line, there is thanks that begins to bubble up. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you have been with me all along the way. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you have never left me alone and you have never forsaken me. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you have guided me all along the way. Thank you, Lord, that when I was lost, I became found. Many of you know what I'm talking about today. That you run that race. That you fight that fight. That you step through the openings of the Lord, and that you're not slowing down, and that you're not turning back, and that you are infused with the fullness of the will of God, that it affects your actions, your choices, your desires, and your purposes in your life. You're saying, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve those people around me. Thank you for the opportunity to pour my life out as an offering to you. And there's thanks. Some of you, it's a little fuzzy. Some of you are going, man, I've been working this out, man. I barely even got an image of the finish line. I'm so messed up from my past, you know, the insecurity, Lord, and the instability in my life has made it challenging to grab onto you, Lord. I don't know how to grab onto anything. I just move from thing to thing to thing to thing in my life. And the enemy will throw you a bone, you know. It's like, just go, whoo, get off track. So you say, look what the Lord sent me. That wasn't from God, believe me. Oh, really? How do you know? Hand slipped off the gospel. Fuzzy. You know what? God sends you stability. He opens the way. You can walk through that. We got some tools available to you online. Get in the Word. Holy Spirit will guide you. And when that bone comes along, man, it can be a new job. Lord say, that ain't for you. Devil will throw you a little bone, get you off track. You know how I know? All the people that were up here last Sunday, not one here today. Not one. You know what that is? That's the enemy of our souls working on some folks insecure in their grip on God. Amen? So, maybe it's fuzzy. Keep on stepping. Keep on running. Get some people around you. Keep on coming here. Come here for all the time you can. Get online. Get on the CHAG prayer page. Get on the City Heights Assembly Facebook page. Spend some time with the Lord. He'll show you your next step, and he'll show you your next step, and he'll show you your next step. You're going to have this thing happen in you. Love will be poured out, and all of a sudden people will be changed in you, around you, and through you. Amen? Now, there's a third group. Those that are reaching out for the finish, there's those that are a little fuzzy, and there's those that are mailing it in. And I can see there's some people who went to the post office this week. My wife gets that joke. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? It's good enough for God. I'm going to heaven. I just need to get in by the skin of my teeth. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to do any more than I have to. Well, the problem is the Lord opens the way. If you don't step through, you get left behind. Don't want to be left behind. Amen. These of you want to come up, let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the finish. Lord, I thank you for those that are here this morning, Lord, that are faithful, that are holy, separated unto you, Lord, that are committed, dedicated, and fervent in their understanding of your will. And, Lord, they are pouring out their lives as an offering to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the finish, and I thank you for the hope, and I thank you for the thanks that well up. I thank you for the anointing to teach, the anointing to make an impact, the anointing to serve, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for those that are trying to work it out. We come against the attack of the enemy, Lord, that you would push him back, that you would strengthen those, Lord, give them clarity and give them the ability to grab on to all that you have and step into that plan for their lives. And Lord, for those trying to mail it in, pray some envelopes go out this week. Return to sender. The word says that I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm and you make me want to vomit. Return to sender. I'm looking for fully committed. I'm looking for those that are faithful, set apart, holy, dedicated. Come unto me, you're heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for it's not too heavy. It'll get you through. Stand with me if you would. We're going to sing. The worship team is coming. And maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts this morning. It's a dangerous thing. Come up to these altars. Devil looks at these altars, says, "Oh, really? You're going to just step on out for the Lord?" I don't think so. I know you. But we get strength, we get power, endurance to finish the race, power to overcome the attack of the enemy, and power to pray for those around us who need it. So I invite you to come. Lord, speak into your heart. We'll step through into all that God has for us. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Danny, put that light on three, would you?